Hey, this morning we're going to talk Vision Atlantic. We have Christina Bateman in joining us this morning. Been a few weeks since we've had a chance to sit down and visit. How you been?
Good. How about you?
Well, good. Are a lot of the stressors kind of gone from the project, or are there still a few left over?
Oh, there's still one or two.
Well, again, like we talked before, it's like weeds. I mean, they just grow so fast, and these houses have just grown so fast from the ground, too. And that's the visible part of this, and that's what people have really been looking toward here in the project, the subdivision there. Are you satisfied with where things are right now?
Oh, yeah. I think things are going really well. With the housing development, we have 41 of the 48 units that are going up this year are in construction process, and 17 of those are basically about done. So that's, you know, really positive. The 10 tiny homes are about done as well. And we have people calling and already wanting to rent those out. Again, we're going to own those and rent those out Airbnb style. So for people visiting, you know, for one night to maybe a few weeks if needed. And so we already have people calling and wanting to rent those. So I think those are going to be really successful. And everything's just looking good and taking shape well. So
yeah, and we've talked a lot about the construction phase and things like that too. And that's not winding down. There's still plenty to do yet, but we've seen quite a bit of progress. So are you kind of moving more into the marketing phase now then?
Yes, we're getting real close to listing those homes and really pushing the advertising on those, getting the word out that we have these homes here, you know, what they are, that we have them, that Atlantic is a great place to be, Cass County is a great place to be, to live, work, play, all those things. And so, yeah, we're really focusing in on that part right now and excited to see what the next year will bring. So,
well, and I know looking at some of those, you know, a new home is wonderful. We all love to walk in and have that new paint smell, you know, the new carpet smell, all those kind of things, like buying a new car, you know, it's always fun. But a brand new home isn't necessarily what everybody's in the market for. What's new to you might be a brand new build, or it might be someone else who's taken good care of a home over the years. And this is part of this project. It's not just creating this new housing, but it's also, isn't it creating some new opportunities for folks who perhaps may upgrade from what they're currently in to moving into one of these, and that leaves their the home that they had now available for sale on the market.
That's right. We really feel that, you know, our project, we're really trying to focus in on the fact that, like you said, this opens up housing for people of all different income levels and sizes, and whether it's older or newer, those kinds of things. But, you know, people think, oh, we have a lot of houses for sale, you know, in Atlantic right now. But I'm a former realtor, and when I started real estate in 2013, there was 73 houses listed just in the city limits of Atlantic. And right now, yes, we've come up from the lows of 5 to 6 houses here a couple of years ago, but we're still at around 30 to 35 houses, you know, that are on the market here in Atlantic. So we're really not even back up to that inventory level that we had not that long ago. And so, you know, again, opening up more inventory by people being able to buy these new homes, and then maybe, you know, someone goes into the new home, they have maybe a $200,000 existing home, and that opens that up for someone else in the community who's looking to move up from their $100,000 home. So yes, we truly feel like that this does as much as we can in the way of creating inventory in all levels of housing units.
And you, with your background too, understand how this works. I mean, real estate has a unique effect on a local economic process, simply because it's a lot of these homes, they're around for a very, very, very long, decades and decades. They're not like a car. You know, a car might not have a long shelf life depending upon how it's used, but a home, on the other hand, can be there for 100 years or more, and it's sold and resold and resold. It increases in value. There are a lot of economic benefits to opening things up and driving that market.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so, you know, not just those houses being available, but also, you know, in our development, I mean, too, an economic driver is that we've had between 20 and 40 people, I would say, working on the job site at any given day. And those people are coming to town, they're buying lunch here, they're maybe buying breakfast here, they're maybe getting supper on the way out of town, or maybe they're staying in town. I know some of the workers were staying till 8 at some points and working, you know. So really just being here, spending money here, which helps everyone in the community. So,
and I still see cars driving by, so I know folks want to kind of take a peek from a distance and see what's going on. So still a lot of interest there as well. So yeah, hopefully very soon we'll start to see some moving trucks move in that neighborhood.
Yes, there was one there. Well, there was delivery trucks, I guess, today, not moving trucks. But yeah, some of the final furnishings are coming in. For example, the tiny homes, we've got furniture that's ordered and is starting to get delivered, and we'll start going into the home. So that's really exciting to see. And yes, we hope to see the moving trucks with families and their belongings coming in here very soon.
You bet. Well, and we haven't talked so much about fundraising for the project. And again, the housing part of the project really isn't necessarily a big driver of the fundraising, because that's going to kind of perpetuate itself. But the child care center, the YMCA expansion, those are things that are still down the road, but not that far down the road, because we're getting closer to those too. And those are still on track, right?
Yep, they're still on schedule right now. Kind of the timeline that we're looking at for those two pieces. We hope to bid the child development center yet this summer and hopefully start construction this fall on that facility. That will take probably about 18 to 24 months to complete that construction. And then that will be ready to be opened up, providing up to 300 child care spaces for people in our community and surrounding communities as they come into Atlantic to work or whatever their situation might be. So that's looking good, moving along with that. The permits have been filed with the state, so things are going forward there. And with the YMCA, probably at this point, we'll be waiting to start construction until next spring. So, you know, we've got a big project. We've got a lot of capital that we have committed, but some of those gifts, again, are coming in over 3 to 5 years. And so, you know, kind of have to time that. And, you know, getting the child care center built first is just the priority in this case. But the Y will come along again, hopefully next spring. So,
well, and I know the YMCA has some conceptual ideas of what will happen down the road as part of this project. But here just recently, a few weeks ago, they held an opportunity for folks to come in. They're still open to public comments. And because, you know, the perfect idea has never been tossed out yet. So you never know when you're going to get the best ideas. And they're never the best when they're raw. They're always better when they're chewed around a little bit, and then we figure out all the details and stuff. And I assume that process went pretty well.
Yes, that strategic planning session went very well. Again, the YMCA invited the community to come out. We had a great turnout there. The YMCA board and staff have been working with a strategic planning development person, and he kind of led the conversation. And then, you know, we just got in small groups and discussed different aspects of what we want to see from the Y, or the important needs or challenges, and just got everyone's input as to what they thought might be those needs or challenges or ideas, you know, that might be something that, you know, ends up being super beneficial to the community and to the operation of the YMCA. So really good turnout, really good input. You can now, if you still want to be involved, you could contact Dan Haynes at the YMCA, and they're forming some, I'd say, subcommittees essentially to focus on certain areas of that strategic planning. And so they could let you know what those are. And if you have interest in one of those, you could be a part of that committee and share your thoughts and do some work to help get something positive done for the community. So
absolutely. Well, you know, when you look at these things too, all of these projects we're talking about, I mean, this is the project up in the housing development. There are a lot of people that are involved in that. A lot of people have ownership in that, in helping out with that project. The Child Development Center, the same way. It's not just the Lakin Foundation. There are a lot of people that have ownership in this, because that's what they're doing, essentially, is buying ownership. They're having an opportunity to have an investment in that. And the YMCA, it's a public-private partnership anyway. It's partially funded through tax dollars in some respects. So it's always been something that is part, everybody has ownership in it. So we should all take an interest in these things. And not feel like we're outsiders.
That's right. And you're not an outsider. And you know, we're the Y's working hard to open up that opportunity to people who might be interested. You know, you don't have to do something like serve on a board necessarily. That's not your thing, or you can't make that commitment. But this is an opportunity for a short-term time commitment to share ideas and then do some work if you'd like to, or just be a part of the planning process. So you'll be able to join those committee meetings through a Zoom link if you can't meet in person. And so lots of opportunities for anyone anywhere to have input if you have an interest in kind of driving the future of those areas of development within the YMCA. So
Doing what I do for a living, I get the opportunity to visit with folks in all kinds of communities around Southwest and West Central Iowa. And it's amazing the feedback I get, people asking questions about the Vision Atlantic Project. I can only share so much because I'm not on the committee, so I know what I know from visiting with you folks. But in some respects, they're kind of outside the general area that the Lakin Foundation would be interested in investing in, and they regret that. It's kind of like, oh, I wish we were just a little bit closer so we were kind of in their, you know, in their bubble, in their realm. But they are watching to see what happens, to see if you know, how well this project goes, and it's kind of a beacon for a lot of communities.
Yeah, and we were trying to, you know, be responsible and diligent with that, knowing that people are watching and looking to us to be a model for what they could do in their communities. So again, if you have any input, even for Vision Atlantic and what we're doing or some thoughts you might have, feel free to reach out to me or any of our board members or committee members and share those. You know, we're always open to hearing those. I would also add that, you know, with regards to the Lakin Foundation, we're incredibly blessed by them here in Cass County, being Cass County is included in one of their areas of service. But I would say to you that when we started Vision Atlantic and the very infancy stages of this project, we didn't have the Lakin Foundation commitment. But what happened was we were prepared. We had done the work. The YMCA had done their strategic planning session in 2021. The community had had a housing committee development with ISU, you know, and their readiness study for housing. And of course, the YMCA operates childcare, so we had all kinds of knowledge and experience and kind of what the needs were there. So I would just encourage you that even if you're outside of this or you're dreaming big with whatever you're doing in your life, just to be ready for that opportunity when it comes. If you do the work, keep putting in the work, doing the planning, and just staying committed and faithful, your opportunity will come around at some point. So, and that's kind of, again, what we're just trying to show, and I know what the Lakin Foundation is trying to show to other areas of the state and the Midwest is that, yes, the Lakin Foundation can't serve everyone, but you could find maybe your Lakin Foundation, whether that's a family foundation or whether that's a business foundation or, you know, whatever that might look like in different communities. So have those conversations with people. Really, this opportunity for us came up because we were reaching out, honestly, for an infrastructure grant for housing. That was why our call went into the Lakin Foundation. And if you looked at their mission of their organization at that time, that didn't really fit their mission. But we reached out anyway just to explore possibilities and have a conversation, and it turned into all of this. And so again, just encouraging everyone to don't be afraid to have that conversation or share that idea or reach out with a thought, even if it seems a little out there or big or whatever it might be. So that's how we get great things done.
You work around some numbers and try to figure out a few, soften up some of the edges, and you might have a viable project out there. You just never know.
That's right.
But it also, it does take funding, and that funding can't just come from one source like the Lakin Foundation. Still looking to reach some to this year's fundraising goal as well.
That's right. Yep. We've just been blessed with our community support here in Atlantic. You know, just we all know that we have great people here in Atlantic who believe in Atlantic and support Atlantic. And we couldn't do it without everyone here, everyone who's helped, whether that's financially or giving of their time, all those areas. And yes, we are at 87% in signed pledges of the campaign goal, which is $39 million is the total campaign goal. And so we still have a good almost $5 million to get in signed pledges yet this year in order to keep those grant funds that the Lakin Foundation has provided. And so if you have any interest or have any questions, want any more information about anything, again, feel free to reach out to anyone who's on a committee or the board. We'd be more than happy to chat with you. But yes, we still have work to do, and we need your support, you know, to get that done. So whatever way you feel like you can serve or help, just feel free to share that and reach out. And, you know, we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, don't just sit around and wait to be asked. You might be, but, you know, you can't catch everybody too. So if you have an interest and you haven't been asked yet, that doesn't mean they're not interested in you. So very much take an opportunity to step up. And if you'd like to take some ownership in this and make an investment, then they would be glad to talk to you more about the opportunities there. There are a wide range of opportunities, as we've discussed before. So very good. Christina, thanks for coming by. Appreciate it. And continued success.
Thank you.